Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Pod Save the King!
Hello and welcome back to Pod Save the King. I am your host, Anne Brooker, and I can confirm I do have a special guest with me today, but I can also confirm it is not Meghan Markle. We are not the new home of her new adventures with podcasting after her Spotify podcast is no more by mutual agreement. But Russell Myers is back, the Daily Mirror Royal Editor. Well, actually, he's King of Royal Things, but his new title is far too long and important to repeat it every week, and his head would get far too big for any crown that could be given to him. So, Russell, hello. Lovely to see you.
Hello. I was quite excited then. I thought I was going to be the special guest, and then this was some sort of big, you know, new relationship we were going to have.
You're a special guest every week.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Well, listen, if Meghan Markle does want any tips on podcasting, come to us, obviously.
I mean, to be fair, her podcast did win some awards. We won an award
Award, you know. Not being big-headed or anything, but we're doing all right. Are we going straight in? We might as well go straight into the Spotify news.
Yeah, there's lots of other exciting things to talk about. Grand outfits, big plans, all sorts of things to look at what's been going on in the UK side of the world. But let's handle that big news from America first. And the end of, you know, it was one of the big deals that Meghan and Harry signed. It was meant to run for longer, but they probably won't be getting all of the money from it. And then there was a pretty brutal verdict from Bill Simmons, head of podcast innovation and monetization at Spotify, and he made some pretty choice comments in his own podcast. I won't do swearing because we don't swear on this show, but he used a very bad word and then called them grifters as well, and said that's the podcast we should have launched with them. I've got to get drunk the story of the Zoom I had with Harry to try and help him with a podcast idea. It's one of my best stories. So if you see that man, please buy him a drink so that we can hear it. But also, I did have to look up the word grifter, because you get the sense it's not a very nice way to refer to people, but I was interested to hear what it actually means. So it's a person who engages in petty or small-scale swindling. Is its dictionary verdict?
Yeah, I saw another. I had to look it up as well, because it's become sort of involved in the vocabulary of people who are writing about royals, because it's a label that has been chucked at Harry and Meghan somewhat unfairly, I think. And you see it a lot on social media. And I got the interpretation as somebody who gets money dishonestly by tricking people. I mean, I don't think have they tricked anyone? I don't think they have. They've been pretty brutally honest. I mean, and it's one version of the truth, isn't it? So we hear this a lot, don't we? The your truth. I mean, I don't subscribe to that.
No swearing.
And I mean, maybe you could do the sort of grifters. We should have got you to do it in your late Queen's voice. That would have been quite fun.
Or maybe my
Charles voice. That would have been quite funny. Anyway, I think that the fact that Bill Simmons has come out, and I thought, gosh, he must be a former disgruntled Spotify executive to come out and use such choice language. But no, he's still head of podcasting and head of monetization at the Spotify. So it's pretty brutal. And I think him coming out and saying, listen, you know, God, my meetings with Prince Harry, I'd love to tell you about them. They're not great for the old CV for both of them, are they? And what if they come back and say, we've spent the money? I mean, they can't ask me. So it'd be nice what sort of what deal that was, because there's a lot of figures banded around. I mean, 18 million, 25, 30 million pounds or dollars. I don't really know what it was. But listen, the subject remains that her podcast was successful. It got many awards, as you say. It was number one. It was, you know, taking over Joe Rogan's podcast, which they paid an exorbitant amount of money to have the exclusive rights for. And yet it's been canned. 13 episodes. I've said this before. Listen, I don't think I was the intended market, was I? You liked it.
Oh, in no, parts, I didn't. I don't think
you didn't listen to it.
I was on maternity leave and I was busy listening to nursery rhymes instead.
That's... Well, you've saved yourself a job there, but I'll give you a sort of a rundown of it. I don't think I was the intended target. I think at some points it was pretty interesting. I liked the Serena Williams one. I think Megan spoke about herself too much. I think she tried to lace in her own personal experiences a bit too much. And of course, that isn't the job of, you know, an adept interviewer, is it? It's to let your subject explore their own life and their subject a bit more. So I just didn't hit the mark for me. But some people liked it, and I'm sure they will find a platform for it. She could do it herself.
It'll be interesting to see what they do next anyway. So it's, you know, it. I guess it's that the reality maybe of things have kind of established, and are they working, are they not, and, you know, crunch time on whether things continue. So we'll see. We'll see what they get up to over there. But back to the UK, back to today. Today we're recording on Wednesday, unusually, which means we can say happy birthday, Prince William. It's his birthday today. Lovely picture shared by the royal family of William pinning something to Charles in some robes, and Chris Jackson on Getty shared that it was a relaxed moment behind the scenes at the coronation rehearsal. So it did look quite sweet. I mean, everybody's been in a lot of exciting get up over the last few days. We had Royal Ascot, Garter Day, Trooping the Colour. All sorts of grandness going on. Ascot is, we've not seen William and Kate there yet. They're not there today. We've just seen the carriage list, but the Tyndalls are enjoying their summer of fun again. Edward and Sophie are there, and the King and Queen are there as well, although they have slightly better luck with the horses than they had yesterday. They didn't have any.
Oh, yeah.
It's on day one.
His horse came fifth or something.
Even though Frankie Story was riding it, so you know.
Terrible. Awesome. I think we're going to see the Prince and Princess of Wales at some stage later on in the week. So watch out for that.
But William and Kate, King and Queen. Sorry, Russell, I should stop talking.
Sorry,
it's very rude.
Well, we're going to see William and Kate later on in the week. The King and Queen have been there every day, and I think that they will be there every day right up until Saturday. We've seen the Tyndalls there as well, as you pointed out. People have been getting involved in a lot of fancy dress. Well, it's not really fancy dress in terms of, you know, where you would get it from a fancy dress shop, I suppose. But
no one's arriving dressed as Winnie the Pooh.
The garter robes have been drawn out once again, and a bit of controversy. Were we not going to see Prince Andrew? He managed to get his robes on for the coronation, even though Buckingham Palace had sworn blind to me that he wouldn't be wearing them. And I think controversially, he was allowed to wear them for the coronation, but was, you know, canned, put to the side once again during the Garter Day celebrations and procession yesterday, or on Monday, should I say, which is quite interesting because the late Queen had sort of given the diktat that he wasn't allowed to wear them in the procession. He did go to the reception afterwards last year. I'm not too sure whether he did this year, and nothing's been confirmed by Buckingham Palace, but it tells you a little bit maybe that the King gave him an inch to be involved in the coronation celebrations and the ceremony. And yet he doesn't necessarily want to see him out and about with the rest of the family. So any sort of, I suppose, way back into the royal fold that Andrew was planning has probably had that door firmly shut. I mean, he is still thinking that there is a way back for him, but it's very, very hard to think about that. And I saw a story this week about the FBI had found some correspondence allegedly between the Duke of York and Jeffrey Epstein, despite him saying in that Newsnight interview that he had cut all communication at the time that photograph had come out. So be interesting to see what else comes out of that in due course.
On a more mundane note, but actually quite grand note, there was something that, while King Charles has obviously taken on the role of sovereign, he didn't change his robes for Garter Day. So he decided he was going to stick with his old robe rather than upgrading to the sovereign's mantle, because that is like an extra long, extra heavy, extra velvet thing that would have required some pages to carry it about. So he went for the simple dress down look as the king in his big old matching velvet robe with his queen alongside him. And when seeing the pictures of Kate and Sophie chatting away, it reminds me of, you know, the sort of, now there's one person missing from that trio now, because you always used to see the pair of them with Camilla. So I remember, I think there was the Merry Wives of Windsor was the headline on it one time, and they always seemed to be having a good time. But people were very much enjoying Kate's eyes for William as he's walking down, strolling along and looking quite loved up, lovingly over towards him.
Well, that was a lovely picture from our Ian Vogler. He got that snap of, you just see sort of the side of William's head, but you can make out it's him, and then Kate beaming as she sees him in the robes as she's waiting by the door of St. George's Chapel. Now, listen, I think that the robes thing is, again, a sustainability issue. I don't think he wanted necessarily to involve more pages. You didn't want a new robe made. There is definitely things that can be done to be a bit more thrifty. And we've seen that, again, in the coronation. We've seen it recently talking about what Charles is going to do with the palaces. Are you going to open them up more? Is he going to try and bring more money in? And I think that regardless, we've got to get away from this whole, that's a king being drawn in a golden state carriage and living in palaces and castles. Listen, that isn't going to go away, is it? It's part of the history. It's part of what he is about. But he can try and turn the dial, as it were, as and when he can. And I think that is exactly what he's attempting to do. So we should applaud him for it where possible.
And Trooping the Collar all seemed to go off very well. And we got the full fly past, which was great. Charles had a pretty lovely horse, which I think people were keeping a close eye on. And then a couple of things my husband commented on looking at the balcony. He said he spotted very clearly the moment that George said, "That's the F-35s," when he got all excited about the fly past. My husband loves the planes.
And is that what he said? Is that what he said? Yeah, gosh, fair enough.
And he also commented on how the Queen always used to be quite quiet and just watch things. She didn't tend to engage in the conversations up on the balcony. But it was a very chatty balcony, and Camilla and Charles were sort of chatting away quite a lot to each other. And obviously, that with the Mirror, we love to get a lip reader on the case, and other places do as well. But anyway, apparently, Camilla managed, you know, she used the sort of well-reported nickname that she has for Charles of Fred, "What do you think about the horse?" And to which Charles replied, "I don't know," which is always a classic answer. And I love the idea of William just saying, "Can you budge up talking to the kids?" And Charles apologising to Charlotte after hitting her on the head with his arm when waving. "Oh, sorry, I didn't see you there." It's brilliant. And I think there was a moment when Sophie said it was like, "Oh, that's close." And I think I did exactly the same thing. There was two aeroplanes that didn't look like the kind of things that normally flew in formation together, like big sort of transportery types. And they looked like they were remarkably close. But apparently, that, you know, altitudes were different or some such. And it was all an optical illusion.
Well, I think, you know, the chatting is always a little bit about a bit of nervousness. And it needs all these first things that are happening. Like, again, it's the first one without the Trooping the Collar since the Queen passed away. Of course, she was there for Platinum Jubilee, and it's again a sort of a program of firsts, isn't it? This first year is going to be important because of all the things that are happening, whether it's the coronation, whether it's the Windsor Hall show, whether it's the Trooping the Collar and whatnot. And there's going to be an awful lot of those instances that people are interested to see if what royals are there. What reactions they have, and actually, you know, what it means to the king and queen, and how differently they're doing it. So, interestingly enough, I thought that what was identified as Camilla and Kate during Trooping the Colour was their outfits, and previously that the colonels of the regiments have worn military dress, but certainly that wasn't what they were going to do this year. However, certainly the nods to the regiments that they are that they are now in charge of course, Kate wearing green because she's Colonel of the Irish Guards, and Camilla, Colonel of the Grenadier Guards. And she had that incredible sort of bespoke how would you describe it? I was going to say a tunic. It's not really a tunic, is it? But it's probably a blazer with lapels. And it was quite, it was a nod to the Grenadier Guards uniforms with this black Philip Tracy hat that she had as well. So, again, I think that these things are going well as they're going off. We haven't seen anyone, you know, reinventing the wheel at the moment, have we? We've had a couple of big launches, shall we say. We had Kate's launch with the early years. Now we're having on the sort of eve, really, of William's kickoff with homelessness, which is going
we'll
to be very interesting.
Yeah. Before we move on to all of that, I would like to share with you some audio from one of our longtime listeners, Deb Stratus. She's Canadian, and she was at Trooping the Colour on a visit over to the UK, and she has some top tips for Canadian listeners about how you can get involved with royal events and snag yourself some tickets for such things. So Deb, thanks ever so much for the update, and I hope you guys enjoy it, and then we'll be back with Russell to chat lots more.
Hello, Anne and Russell. This is Deb from Canada. I just returned from a great trip to the UK. I was there about 10 days doing some research. I'm a writer. And although I didn't really love the heat wave, I got to tell you that. But one of the main events of my reason for coming was to see Trooping the Colour, which I did on the 17th. I had gotten tickets through the High Commission of Canada, through the Government of Canada. And we have kind of like a lottery system here. I've actually tried three times to get tickets, and this year I was successful. So if any of your listeners are Canadian and are interested, you can submit for Trooping the Colour or Royal Garden Party, which I also was lucky enough to attend back in 2015. So you just need to go to the international.gc.ca website and then search on Royal Events in the UK, and you should be able to find the form. Usually they open that up early in the new year, and they'll tell you all the deadlines and stuff there. But it's well worth it. Trooping the Colour was amazing. It was just so cool to see all the different branches of the military marching and the horses. Kate looked beautiful in a green dress, and the kids were there waving. So it was quite an exciting event. I had my little purple fascinator and my purple dress, all dressed up for the king. And then, of course, we walked up the Mall and saw the everybody on the balcony, which was also pretty awesome. William was there, and the king, and the queen. And seeing the flyby was really nice as well. The you know, those aircraft are in perfect synchronicity, and the CR was just amazing. And the whole thing was just quite an amazing day. So anyway, just thought I'd pass that on to your listeners, and love your podcast. I listen to it every week. And Anne, it was great having a coffee with you while I was there. And pod save the king. So thanks very much. Take care.
And thanks again to Deb. I really enjoyed hearing how much she had loved her big outing. We talked about homelessness, Russell, and William's big announcement. I thought it was very interesting. So the Sunday Times had a big interview on Sunday, the day after Trooping the Colour. And it was, you know, it was the front page feature, the big feature inside as well. The picture on the front was that lovely picture of Prince William with the kids. And it meant that Trooping the Colour was not on the front page. And actually, Trooping the Colour was just kind of, you know, it was five nice pictures across the top of the spread on the Sunday Times. And I was like, all right, there's two options here. Either Prince Charles, I'm still calling him Prince Charles, King Charles will be happy about this because it demonstrates actually this is the royal family trying to be active, trying to bring change, trying to do really positive things for society, as opposed to here's a load of royals dressed up in their glad rags again, don't they understand what real people's lives are like? Or he might be really miffed. And it's like, hang on a minute, it's my birthday parade. It has to be this weekend that you do this. And I just thought it was quite interesting thinking about the conversation we were having last week about collaboration and how they all work together to bring things forward. And we know there've been sort of, you know, there used to be conspiracy theories in the past about, you know, Harry and Meghan always seem to be doing things the day that William and Kate were doing things, and that sort of rivalry for positioning and prominence, even within the royal family, where theoretically there is a hierarchy and pecking order. So before we get onto the meat of what William was talking about, what did you make of the timing? And do you think there's any disquiet about it, or are they all happy? What's the situation?
Well, so I mean, the Trooping was Saturday, wasn't it? And then you've got the Sunday papers were I mean, since Sunday Times, obviously, splashed on William. I think, listen, it goes without saying that there is rivalry between the households, and they have to try and get their diaries in order. Sometimes that doesn't really work. I think that this is it's a new dawn, isn't it? I would like to think that Charles would be on board with this programme, because it is William taking over the Duchy of Cornwall and about his plans, his future plans of how he wants to use that land. Because I think something like 130,000 acres of land that could be used, as William said, for different purposes. I mean, the plans that I've seen for this homelessness project, it doesn't really look like that whole headline of William's going to turn some of the land into social housing is going to happen yet. But I think what was important during that Sunday Times interview was that there is a willingness to do it. And I think that if we know anything, it's that the wheels turn very, very slowly when they're trying to get things off the ground. I mean, you know, Kate talking about early years and that being her life's work. I mean, she's been doing it for 10, 11 years, they'll tell you. So that makes you think, well, if William is going to change homelessness like he says he is, it's going to take quite a long time, because this is such a complex issue, and not only involves complex individual stories, but you've got laws and regulations and the councils who probably won't be able to find the money for it because they're in dire straits. So it will be very interesting once this is launched next week to see what is the actual meat and potatoes of the project, rather than just a lot of buzzwords. And listen, we've all got to get behind it, because I think, as William said, that when you looked at what the government did during COVID, surely that can be replicated. But again, like a lot of these things, it's a case of money. And you look at the state of the NHS, and you look at the state of mental health provision that they have also been fighting on and talking about for 10 odd years now, then it's going to be quite a tall order. But best of luck to him. We can only give it a really positive shows in the paper and get behind it and try and put pressure on governments and local councils to try and make it work.
Yeah, there's always this sort of the thing trotted out of, like, you've got all of these palaces with loads of rooms in, why don't you just open them up and have some people come and stay? Apparently you gave an eloquent non-answer to why that wouldn't be the case. But building social housing and improving that will be interesting to see how he gets on. And talking about, Kate having done early years for sort of a decade already. I mean, William first went to a homeless shelter with his mum, back in the early 90s, I think. So his involvement or awareness of that has been going on for years. And I thought it was interesting hearing him speak about, he sounded quite comfortable in engaging with his children about it and talking with them about it and talking to people that he does see on the streets and not wanting to ignore them. And I think, I think a lot of us probably do feel awkward and don't know how to deal with it. And I mean, maybe it's easier if you're the future king and there's a certain shock factor possibly when you're starting those conversations. I don't know.
Well, one of the quotes I really struck me was when he said, when I left this morning, one of the things I was thinking was, when is the right time to bring George or Charlotte or Louis to a homeless organisation? I think when I can balance it with their schooling, they will definitely be exposed to it. On the school run, we talk about what we see. And then he goes into detail about, the children asking questions, why are they there, what's going on? And he said, I think it's the right thing to do to expose your children at the right stage and the right dialogue so they have an understanding. And of course, I mean, that they have to have an understanding of the incredible privilege that they have been born into. But that doesn't mean, and I think William does demonstrate this, and for what we know, that is the central point of them trying to, both William and Kate, trying to give their children a grounded upbringing. That's why they've moved into it. Also, that's why they've moved into a smaller cottage. I mean, it's still a very nice abode, isn't it? But it's not Windsor Castle. It's not Royal Lodge. It's not Kensington Palace. But to try and give them that air of normality before George becomes a teenager and starts potentially doing engagements, then, you know, Charlotte and Louis will be right behind him. And what will life mean for those children? What will the monarchy look like for those children? So he is trying to prepare his children in the best way possible. And I don't think you even need to be a parent to understand that he knows that he had a pretty not troubled upbringing. I mean, Harry would say that they did, but they lived in this bubble, and he's trying to expose them into a different side of life and society that they wouldn't necessarily get during his upbringing. And I'm sure his mother tried to do that for him, and that's what he's trying to replicate with his children.
It was a lovely picture that was shared, another one of by Malie Pilkington, that of William and Charlotte and Louis and George. And there's sort of two versions of it, one where they're looking at the camera and one they're a bit more looking at William. But I thought it was really nice, like they were less, I don't know, you know, the hair wasn't done. And George looked really different in sort of profile with his more mussed up hair rather than, you know, very much sort of tidied up and looking smart for Trooping the Colour or whatever. I thought it was a really lovely photo taken at Windsor and on a bench that was marked the 90th birthday of the Queen. So nice sort of those mementos. I mean, there's things for the Queen all around the country. I'm looking forward to seeing what things have or haven't been erected to mark Charles's coronation as things go on. So I always enjoy seeing different things round and about and try and snap them if I can. So I thought that was lovely. And it was quite poignant, you know, in various ways, seeing the Father's Day pictures shared on the Royal Family account. You'd got, you know, obviously Charles with his late father and Camilla with her late father. And then a very, very throwback picture of Charles and the boys when they were teenagers, really, with William and Harry. And it's, you know, that is not a together moment. There's not, you know, most of us debate, you know, are we going to get home to see our dad for Father's Day or how are we going to mark it? It probably wasn't a debate for Harry to have at all at the moment, which is a sad thing. But hopefully he will have had a lovely day with his own children. One of the things, William, when he was on his homelessness visit last week, where I presume that interview happened, he got to play a bit of table football there, and he was out playing table football again when he went to visit the Lionesses. Do you think he's going to end up in Australia, Russell? Have you got your passport ready? Are you going to go to the World Cup with him?
No, I don't think he'll be at the World Cup. I think that they would love to be planning a trip to Down Under and the New Zealand and the islands as well, taking Fiji, Tonga, Samoa. That sort of trip would be absolutely fantastic. I think the Royal Family are absolutely crying out for this. It needs to happen. I mean, 2018, the last time the Royal Family went down there with Harry and Meghan. Of course, we've had Princess Anne over there, but for all Princess Anne's incredible attributes, it isn't the glitz and the glamour that you get from having William and Kate there. I mean, could they take the children next spring? That is obviously another option as well. If Charles and Camilla go, which I think is important as well, I just can't see it. You know, I speak to a lot of the Aussies a lot because I do a lot of television out there. But the problem is that the country is kind of divided with the royal family. There is a Republican movement, for intents and purposes, from the top. I mean, Anthony Albanese is saying that is something that is on his agenda, that there is a minister for the Republic. It's not necessarily in the top of the in-tray, but it's a conversation that needs to be had. And with changing attitudes, if the King and Queen go over there and have sort of a couple of weeks trip, is that going to satisfy the monarchists out there and sort of quell the dissenting voices? I don't think it will. I think you've got to send your star strikers out to, you know, nail it in the, not necessarily the 90th minute, but it is definitely calling out for it.
Oh, yeah, well, good luck to the Lionesses when they head over. I thought it was really nice, William doing his sort of little speech in the canteen for Serena Weidman getting her honorary CBE, I think it was, for victory last summer. So good luck to the Lionesses again. So that was his big engagement yesterday. And Kate was at the reopening of the National Portrait Gallery, which looked like a lovely event, and big exciting new doors, and I really love the Portrait Gallery, and I'm very excited that is going to be opening up again. And also, I think Kate's visit to the Riversleigh Park Children's Centre in Nuneaton last week, when with the burpee baby, again, as part of her early years thing, shining a bit of a spotlight on the work of health visitors. And that visit got the full Will Waugh video treatment. So the guy, the videographer who put together that that film behind the scenes of the coronation weekend, I thought it was really interesting that he was involved in that one as well. And I guess shows sort of the level of effort that is going into that project, and you know, sort of really lifting it up and trying to make it bigger and like really professional, I guess. What have you made of their visits over the last week, Russ?
Well, again, I think that they're super busy. You can't fault them. They're out quite a lot, and they're definitely working on these bigger projects, which are taking up quite a lot of their time. But I don't think we're going to see anything which is like going to shake the mold, really. I really want to see a tour. I think if it was good, there was an autumn tour in the offering. You know, I'm not hearing that there is going to be any, unfortunately. Whether we get the King and Queen out in the autumn remains to be seen. I think that is something they're working through. Again, it's this first year is so tricky, isn't it? Because you've got a year of first. There's an awful lot of planning for the future. But if it was me, I'd be saying hit the ground running, really capitalize on the crest of that wave that you were riding. And we haven't seen that. I think that we've seen decent enough visits. We haven't seen any big tours or plans. And then we had the issue of the King going to France, and that couldn't happen because of the protest. So Germany was a success, and I think that they should have capitalised on it. But, you know, that's why I'm this side of the fence, perhaps.
Russell's passport is burning a hole in his pocket. He wants to get it out and go on some adventures with the Royals. So what are there particular things that we do know that are coming up that we can look forward to? We've obviously got the rest of Royal Ascot, and there's a while yet before their summer holidays and the summer break. Windrush Portraits released tomorrow.
I think it's going to be very interesting to see what is in this homelessness release. So let's wait and see. I think it's a great project. It's really ambitious. It's definitely got a lot of buzzwords to sort of sift through. But once you get down to what the plan is, they're bringing all these different organisations together, and you can imagine what sort of conversations have been had behind the scenes. So Monday is the release for that. So watch out. And I'm really looking forward to it.
And we find out the name, because the name was not allowed to be mentioned in the interview last year.
Oh, no. It's a good job if I didn't mention the name then, isn't it? Because I know the name, but I will keep it a secret.
Well done. Well done. Good job. Unless you've inadvertently thrown it in some Easter egg fashion. No, he hasn't. Otherwise, he'd have done his embarrassed face at this stage. But Russell, it's been great to catch up with you, and lovely to run back through the week's news and pictures and exciting moments and things that people have been saying, either on podcasts or on balconies being read by lip readers and such like. Listeners, it's been great to have you with us as ever. Do keep in touch and let us know what you make of things in Royal Land and things that you'd like us to look at. You can find us at PodSave on Twitter and Instagram. And until next time.
PodSave the King!